Lyme and its co-infections. When I started writing this book, I tried to determine a solid outline that adequately explained my research as well as my take on Lyme disease. It's hard for me because I could write an entire book on many of these topics, yet most, if not all, must be mentioned and discussed in some capacity regarding Lyme. All of them have a role, however, some topics inherently take a back seat, and I can't spend as much time as I'd like to fully shed light on all the topics. This doesn't mean they're any less important. However, I wanted to write at least one chapter on Lyme and its co-infections. Not only are they important, but they also emphasize my philosophy on Lyme. There are numerous co-infections, far too many to list, but I'll discuss three of them, albeit briefly. Babesia, Bartonella, and Mycoplasma. They're different in nature, but also similar, in that they tend to cause symptoms because of a compromised immune system. To summarize, Bartonella, Babesia, and Mycoplasma are three of the most common co-infections seen in Lyme patients and develop in the same fashion, through a compromised immune system. Babesia, Bartonella, and Mycoplasma often begin with a high fever and chills, as do many infections. In terms of biology and biochemistry, cooling tends to slow and/or stop, and heating tends to speed up, sometimes to the point of degradation. Thus, it makes sense that many invading pathogens elicit this response, as excessive heat may in our bodies attempt to degrade, and hopefully kill, the invading pathogen. Most of the time, individuals with Lyme or any of its co-infections don't remember initially contracting the infections. As 90% of Lyme individuals don't remember getting the bullseye rash, many also don't remember their initial fevers either. The main reason many individuals don't recall the initial infection is that their immune systems were vastly compromised, thus allowing infections to enter and develop in the first place. They were actually so compromised, so autoimmune, that the infection didn't elicit an immune response at all. That's why many don't remember getting the bite, seeing the bullseye, getting a fever, or even being sick at all at the time of the initial infection. To summarize, the main reason you contract infections and develop symptoms in the first place, compromised immunity, is the same reason the vast majority of individuals don't remember getting sick at the time of the initial infection. Babesia was initially discovered way back in the late 1800s, but has been referenced as early as Ramses II around 1250 BC. You can think of Babesia as being similar to malaria, although not as deadly. Malaria is one of the deadliest killers in the world, with 438,000 deaths and a reported 214 million cases in 2015. Babesia crawls into the red blood cells, which carry oxygen, and inflames them. Red blood cells are about 8 microns wide, and some of your body's blood vessels, one of the fundamental components of your body's main fluid transport system, are as small as 3 microns. Cells inflamed with an infection like Babesia are larger and have more difficulty moving through your body's transport system. This also increases inflammation throughout the brain and body. Think about putting a golf ball into a cup. Now imagine putting a basketball in that same cup. It would be quite difficult. This is an extreme example, but you get the point. This is what Babesia and other similar intracellular infections can inflict. Not only does this contribute to overall systemic inflammation, but it disrupts blood flow, oxygen transport and delivery, and more. Oftentimes, intracellular infections cause enlarged red blood cells, increased RDWs, as well as low iron and nutritional blood values, hemoglobin, ferritin, MCV, MCH, MCHC, and more. Sometimes they result in low red blood cell count in general, due to the spleen destroying the abnormal inflamed cells. It's not surprising that individuals with Babesia experience high blood pressure, heart arrhythmia, headaches, migraines, and in some cases, neurological symptoms, in addition to many other common symptoms. Although Lyme disease is pushed to the forefront, Babesia, along with Bartonella and Mycoplasma, is truly more of a concern than Lyme. While Babesia is located mainly inside red blood cells, it is intracellular, Bartonella is located mainly outside the cells. It is extracellular. Its initial discovery is credited to A.L. Barton in 1909, and it's now known that Bartonella functions mainly as an opportunistic pathogen. In simpler terms, Bartonella is much more likely to cause detrimental effects in individuals with compromised immune systems. No surprise there, as this is also true of Lyme, Babesia, and numerous other pathogens. As with Babesia, many symptoms of Bartonella resemble those of Lyme, making it difficult to diagnose accurately. However, if a live blood analysis, a dark film test, or any high-powered microscopic red blood cell testing method is employed, Bartonella and Babesia can be illuminated. One symptom that's unique to Bartonella is the appearance of red, streaky stretch marks on the hips, shoulders, back, and more. Both Babesia and Bartonella are mainly red blood cell infections. Since the lifespan of red blood cells is about 120 days, experienced physicians will administer antibiotic therapy for about 5 months or more. What many fail to understand is that these species are extremely savvy. Bartonella has an innate ability to adapt rapidly to changing environments, making survival easier inside its host. It is also evasive of many antibiotics. It has two outer shields to prevent antibiotic entry, two cell walls, enzymes that can degrade antibiotics, beta-lactamases, and pumps that can rapidly rid it of antibiotics, efflux pumps. Oh, and that's in addition to its inherent ability to build and live within biofilms. To summarize, the symptoms of Bartonella and Babesia resemble those of Lyme. However, Bartonella and Babesia often affect red blood cells, cells that carry oxygen, and can be seen without surrounding biofilms. This makes both of them more dangerous than Lyme in numerous ways. The last pathogen I'd like to talk about is Mycoplasma. Mycoplasma is much smaller than anything I've discussed thus far, and it's another common and often overlooked co-infection of Lyme disease. Mycoplasma is super tiny. If we see Bartonella as microscopic, Bartonella sees Mycoplasma as microscopic. About 12 Bartonella bacteria can fit inside one of your red blood cells, while about 4,000 Mycoplasma bacteria can fit inside your cell. Remember, your red blood cells are about 1/8 millionth of a meter in diameter. As I said, Mycoplasma is super tiny. How can it exist in such a microscopic form? It basically sheds the most common type of machinery bacteria have, a cell wall, the shield surrounding the epicenter of most bacteria. This allows it to reproduce and move quickly throughout the body. Mycoplasma bacteria prove to be resistant to antibiotic therapy. Surprise, surprise. They also prove to be very resistant to common pasteurization techniques and have been tested to persist in more than half of all dairy products. There are numerous strains revealed that affect many different parts of the body. The Fry test detects Mycoplasma and other co-infections in your biofilm. The most common co-infections are protozoa and coccobacilli, such as chlamydia, which is an STD also carried by ticks that carry Lyme. As with Lyme, most individuals probably have some sort of Mycoplasma bacteria, especially considering Mycoplasma's ability to replicate and survive. Again, reiterating one of the major themes of this book, who exhibits symptoms of mycoplasma infections, and pretty much every infection, individuals with compromised immune function. Are you sensing a theme by now? I surely hope so. This is also true with Lyme, Bartonella, Babesia, and the large majority of infections. Actually, these species often select hosts with immune malfunction to promote their own survival, and honestly, this isn't a new concept. What is a new concept is that symptoms associated with Lyme are usually not a result of Lyme. This is often true with Lyme co-infections as well.